He didn't bother to aim. These things were never designed for accuracy or speed. He simply removed his cigar from his mouth and, as Wolfgang ran towards him, pressed it into the fuse hole. The mortar jerked as the charge went off, and its payload came tumbling out slowly and trailing smoke in a lazy spiral. It looked like the stupidest weapon since the toffee spear. Wolfgang danced back and forth under it, grinning, and as it passed several feet over his head, he leapt up gracefully and caught it in his mouth. And then it exploded. The flares were made to be seen 20 miles away. Even with his eyes tightly shut, Vimes saw the glare through his lids. When the body had stopped rolling, Vimes looked around the square. People were watching him from the coaches. The crowds were silent. There were a lot of things he could say. "Son of a bitch" would have been a good one. Or he could say, "Welcome to civilization." He could have said, "Laugh this one off." He might have said, "Fetch." But he didn't. Because if he had said any of those things, then he'd have known that what he had just done was murder. He turned away, tossed the empty mortar over his shoulder and muttered, "The hell with it." At times like this, teetotalism bit down hard. Tantony was watching. "Don't say a word out of place," said Vimes without altering his stride. "Just don't."
"I thought those things shot very fast."
"I cut down the charge," said Vimes, tossing Detritus's penknife in the air and catching it again. "I didn't want to hurt anyone."
"I heard you warn him that you were armed. I heard him twice resist arrest. I heard everything. I heard everything you wanted me to hear."
"Yes."
"Of course, he might not have known that law."
"Oh, really? Well, I didn't know it was legal in these parts to chase some poor sod across the country and maul him to death. And do you know, that didn't stop anyone." Vimes shook his head. "And don't give me that pained look. Oh, yes, now you can say I did it wrong. You can say I ought to have handled it differently. That sort of thing is easy to say afterwards. I'll say it myself, maybe." "In the middle of every night," he added to himself, "after I've woken up seeing those mad eyes. But you wanted him stopped as much as I did. Oh, yes, you did. But you couldn't, because you didn't have the means, and I did because I could. And you've got the luxury of judging me because you're still alive. And that's the truth of it, all wrapped up. Lucky one for you, eh?" The crowds parted ahead of Vimes. He could hear whispers around him.
"On the other hand," said Tantony distantly, as if he hadn't heard what Vimes had just said, "you did only fire that thing to warn him."
"Huh?"
"Clearly you were not to know that he would automatically try to catch the explosive," said Tantony, and it seemed to Vimes that he was rehearsing the line. "The dog-like qualities of the werewolf could hardly have occurred to a man from the big city."
Vimes held his gaze for a moment and then patted him on the shoulder. "Hold on to that thought," he said. A coach pulled to a halt beside him as he continued on his way. It slid to a stop so silently, not a jingle of harness, not a clop of horseshoe, that Vimes jumped sideways out of shock. The horses were black, with black plumes on their heads. The coach was a hearse, the traditional long glass windows now filled with smoked black glass. There was no driver, the reins were simply loosely knotted on a brass railing. A door swung open. A veiled figure leaned out.
"Your Excellency, do let me give you a lift back to the embassy, you look so tired."
"No, thank you," said Vimes grimly.
"I apologise for the emphasis on black," said Lady Margalotta. "It is rather expected of one on these occasions, I'm afraid."
Vimes swung himself up and into the carriage with furious speed. "You tell me," he growled, waving a finger under her nose, "how anyone can swim up a vertical waterfall. I was prepared to believe anything about that bastard, but even he couldn't have managed that."
"Certainly that is a puzzle," said the vampire calmly, as the driverless coach moved on. "Superhuman strength, possibly?
And now he's gone, and that's one up for the vampires, eh?"
"I would like to think that it's going to be a blessing for the whole country."
Lady Margalotta leaned back. Her rat, with the bow round its neck, watched Vimes suspiciously from its pink cushion.
"Wolfgang was a sadistic murderer, a throwback who frightened even his own family. Angua will have some peace of mind. An intelligent young lady, I've always thought. Leaving here was the best thing she ever did. The darkness will be a little less frightening. The world will be a better place."
"And I've handed you Oberwald," said Vimes.
Don't be stupid. Oberwald is large.